Welcome back. You're listening to The Point. We're talking about the book, How the Beatles Changed the World. 50 years ago, February 9th, 1964, the Beatles made their first appearance on The Ed Sullivan Show. Martin Sandler is the author of that book. Marty, you know, I have been a Beatles fan for a very long time, and I thought I knew everything. And I was actually surprised how many little tidbits of information in here that I did not know. I found that very interesting. So one of the interesting things about the Beatles was the fact that there wasn't really a leader. They played as a group. Other rock and roll groups were in many ways solo acts. So this was something else that made them different.
Yeah, they, you know, the title of the book is How the Beatles Changed the World. And of course, I get into the whole hysteria and the Beatlemania and all of that. But the fact is that these guys changed the world in so many ways and in so many important ways. And of course, one of the biggest ways they changed it was they changed the world of music. And you're right. Up until that point, there was Elvis Presley and there was Little Richard and there were English stars like Cliff Richard. And they all were solo acts. Mm-hmm. And here came the first group to ever sing as a group as equals. The other thing that was terribly important in change was the fact that Elvis Presley didn't write his own songs. Cliff Richard didn't mm-hmm. write his own songs. Little Richard didn't write his own songs. They all covered other songs. The Beatles were the first group, the first major group to write their own music. So there are so many different ways. And
of course, they set the stage for the British invasion following that.
They certainly did. They certainly
they
did.
Opened the door for a whole lot of other acts. Yeah. So let's talk about the Casbah. This was a coffee club for teenagers. This I did not know. You know, you think about Hamburg, Germany and stuff. But before that, mm-hmm. They played in Pete Best's basement. His mom set up this coffee club for kids. Tell us about that.
Well, Pete Best was a drummer. And the Beatles needed a drummer. And they found Pete Best. Pete Best's mother was a real entrepreneur, or should I say entrepreneuress. Mm-hmm. And she actually opened up a club in the basement of her very, very formidable home. And it was called the Casbah. And mainly the Beatles played at noontime. Mm-hmm. And from
they were
they were kids, and from all over England came kids to the Casbah. It was a thing. It was the thing to do. Mm-hmm. It was the place to be at noontime to hear this group called. What I think what most people do not realize is the Beatles were enormous hits in England mm-hmm. before they came here. But nobody knew them here, or almost nobody knew them here.
Okay, so as we said, this is pre-Ringo. Then they get a gig in Hamburg, Germany. Mm-hmm. Okay, Pete Best, as you say, is their drummer. At this time, Ringo was with Rory Storm.
Yeah. And the Hurricanes.
And the Hurricanes, right. And you've got a great photo. He looks so young. He is so young.
God,
and of course, Stu Sutcliffe also joins the band at this time. And uh-huh. so this is I mean, I didn't realize the conditions that they were living in Germany. So talk about their trip to Germany. And they were playing for hours without yeah. breaks.
The most important thing in their life was the fact that they got this gig in Hamburg. The scene in Hamburg was they played maybe 10, 11 hours a day. They had to learn how to vary their songs. They had to learn not to just stand there as they did in the beginning. It was their real, true apprenticeship. What happens while they're in Germany, by this time, they've gotten George Martin to be their producer. Actually, they've gotten Brian Epstein to be their manager, and they've gotten George Martin to be their producer. Those are the two most important people in mm-hmm. their entire careers.
Yeah.
And Martin is going to take them into the studio. They're going to make their first recordings. But Martin does not believe that Pete Best, he's okay for playing in front of these screaming kids mm-hmm. where you can never hear it anyway. But to make recordings, he doesn't believe that Best is up to the task. So Ringo Starr had been playing with Rory and the Hurricanes, but when their performances were over often, Ringo would come listen to the Beatles.
Right.
And he loved their music. He loved the way they performed. So to make a very long story short, Martin fires Best in a very traumatic moment, And he gets Ringo to say yes, he'll join the Beatles. And, of course,
history is made. Yeah.
That's right.
But even before Brian Epstein and George Martin, they played a couple of different clubs in Germany. And there's an interesting situation where they leave one club, which they were, sleeping in these terrible, it was like, cold.
That's
and
right.
There's, barely any furniture.
Right.
And, and they leave and they play at another club. And the guy from the first club's a little upset. So knowing that George is underage...
There's a couple of things that happen. One is that they're always pranksters, and they take it a bit too far. They set fire to something that's on the wall of this horrible place, the room that they're living in. But number two, you're absolutely right. The owner of the first club, once they move, he's not going to just stand still for that. And he knows in Germany at that time, you could not enter a club if you were under 18, and you sure in hell couldn't perform in a club, and George was underage, so they get deported, and off they go.
Yeah, but then, of course, now, and also the Brian Epstein, when they were playing in Germany, they had sort of a rocker, greasy rocker image. The hair was kind of, this is before the hair change. The hair is sort of slicked back. They've got the black leather.
And they're all in leather.
Yeah,
that's right.
And so Brian says, we need a different look.
Right, and he puts them into the suits that we all know.
Right. And the Beetle boots. Remember the Beetle boots?
Absolutely.
They were very fashionable.
That's right. you can, when I was doing the book, I was looking up and what I, in the research I did, they're a hot item still today.
Of course,
As are John Lennon's glasses.
Yep.
Type glasses.
Yeah, lots of things. So the interesting thing, too, about Brian Epstein was he never managed a band before. But here he comes with this contract, and John's like, a contract? Yeah, let's sign.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was a wonderful thing for them because Epstein was an incredible manager who, in the end, it got difficult because of so much came in. And then he had a drug problem. But for the time and the place that he came, he was a godsend
for
them.
Yeah, and they realized it because when he did die, John said, we're done.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, and George Martin, genius. George Martin really helped them grow and develop in the studio.
And an incredible career, even after the Beatles, A Candle in the Wind was George Martin produced it.
Yeah.
Sir George Martin by that time.
All right, so we've got the Beatles that come to America. They're just getting more and more popular. And I love, you've got the letters and cards and things that come in. But I love there's one in here. I'm going to read this. My darling, dear, delightful Ringo, could you please send me something of yours? Anything. A lock of hair, a smoked cigarette, a thread from your coat, a button from your shirt. A piece of old toast or a bristle from your toothbrush. I would treasure it forever. My love, Mary L.
That's wonderful. That's right. Yeah, the merchandise eventually that was sold was extraordinary, including canned beetle breath.
Yeah. And a lock of hair, which was not.
Of course not.
But they used to cut up the sheets from the hotels they stayed in, the
God,
towels.
Yes.
And they would, this stuff went for big bucks. I actually had a beetle wallet. But, the funny thing is you'd think I'd have a picture of the Beatles inside. No, I had a picture of Dino, Desi, and Billy. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Dean Martin's son, Dino, Desi Arnaz, and Lucille Ball's son. I don't remember who Billy's parents were, but yeah, the picture of Dino, Desi, and Billy. But yeah, I wish I still had that wallet, though.
Exactly.
Who knows what that would be worth now, right? So let's talk about the artwork on their album covers, because this was another thing that set them apart.
Yeah, that's all part of, the whole thesis of the book is that the Beatles changed the world. I will jump ahead just for a minute and just say that they changed the world of music. They changed the world of fashion. They even had an effect on religion or spiritualism. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing is they changed the whole world of politics and government and freedom. And the greatest line I could find, and boy, does it say it all, is that when Mikhail Gorbachev left the premiership of Russia, as the communist world was collapsing, his statement to the public was, you can talk about all the billions we spent on tanks, you can talk about all the billions we spent on propaganda, the Beatles destroyed communism. And if I did my job right, I proved that and showed that.
Well, that was some of the other things I didn't know. Since I'm going to jump ahead with you now because I have to mention this. What Russian teenagers went through to hear their music was amazing. They even went to the extent of, getting phone thing connectors to make guitar strings and melting down or doing something with the X-rays, the plastic and X-rays to actually put the music on. I mean, this
is the sexiest part of this book. And that's the cool, I should say, it's the coolest part of this book. And it's true. And it's what most books have never written about. And fortunately, that's what the reviewers are picking up on. What it was against the law to play Beatles music in Russia. Mm-hmm. And if you were caught with the Beatles record, you went to jail. It was against the law to have an electric guitar. If you had an electric guitar, you went to jail, mm-hmm. because those were the two symbols of this decadent Western civilization. And so what the kids in Russia did was that you couldn't buy vinyl. It was against the law to buy vinyl. Mm-hmm. So they found a way of getting X-rays, and then they would cut them in a circular, and they would put grooves on them. And they came to be known as broken bones recordings, mm-hmm. because you could hold them up and still see the X-ray, but you could also hear Beatles.
That's
music.
Amazing.
And then to get the electric guitars, Mindy, that was even more incredible. In Russia, on every street corner of any community of any size, there were transformers and there were loudspeakers spewing out mm-hmm. the propaganda. So the kids started climbing up there. They could get the wire by going to military installations at night and stealing the wire. They could get the wood to make the electric guitars. They needed the acoustic instrument. And those were found up in those transformers mm-hmm. until there was not a loudspeaker left in Russia.
Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing what they did. And they really did. They really did.
Yeah, the music really spoke to them. So let's go back to the artwork of the album covers.
Before the Beatles, there were plain album covers saying Little Richard plays and so forth. Mm-hmm. The Beatles were the first to really understand how important it would be to do cover art, like the best cover art for books on there. And so they did that. It reached a peak later on with Revolver and with Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Band. But they were also the first to include liner notes mm-hmm. in their albums. I mean, they just changed it in so, so many ways.
Right. And, of course, now, we're talking about their music being revolutionary. And we should mention, too, we talked about them as performing all as equals. But Ringo, he was the first drummer to be placed up on a platform.
Exactly.
You know, right from that first performance on Ed Sullivan, we got to see Ringo. And then next, we have these revolutionary movies, the films they did. You know, when we think back, we go, revolutionary? But some of the techniques and things that they did were indeed revolutionary to the movie business.
Absolutely. And you look at television today with the fast cuts and with the fast music accompanying the fast cuts and with the handheld cameras. There was none of that before the Beatles made Help and A Hard Day's Night. Mm-hmm. And so they entered the movie business, and they immediately revolutionized it.
We're talking about How the Beatles Changed the World, the title of Martin Sandler's new book. And coming up, we're going to have a conversation with Professor Glenn Gass, who teaches a Beatle music program at Indiana University.